I love to eat out. I don't know if you can tell, but do you like to eat out? Anybody out there like to eat out? And I love to eat out because usually you can get some really great food. But one of the reasons I love to eat out, honestly, is just because it's really easy, right? After a long, hard day of work, sometimes the last thing you want to do is go home and cook and then eat, and you got to clean it all up. Sometimes it's nice to go to a place where you sit down and they will take you to your table and they will ask you what you would like to drink and you will order it and they will actually bring it to you. Then you get a menu of items of which you get to pick which one am I in the mood for tonight or today, and then they will bring you that food as you are sitting and talking and probably ordering more drinks as the meal goes on. And then when you are done eating, they will then take those dishes that you have eaten with, and they will clean them for you. That's amazing, isn't it? It's really nice to go out to eat because they do everything for you. When you go out to eat, all you have to do is consume. And you can just leave. You consume and you leave, and that's really awesome. There's a time to consume, but I believe there's a time to contribute. And today what we want to talk about, what I want to do, is I want to move you from a consumer to a contributor. I want to move you from a spiritual consumer to a spiritual contributor. One of the things we say often around the cross is we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. That God has given us something that's very real, that's very tangible, that's really powerful for us to do. And we must step into that and be that person. I don't want you to misunderstand. I do believe there is a time to consume. And I believe as Christians, if you believe in Jesus, like we ought to be consuming from God's word on a daily basis. We ought to be consuming from God's people in worship on a weekly basis. I'm not saying that you no longer need to do daily Bible studies or no longer need to do daily prayers or need to be convicted by God's word on a daily basis and see reading God's word how often you've failed his expectations. I believe that every day you need to hear how Jesus has forgiven all of your sins. Just like our body needs physical nourishment, our soul needs spiritual nourishment. However, our culture leads us to be consumers and not contributors. I don't think we struggle from a consumption mindset. I think we struggle from a contribution mindset. And that's what we want to talk about here today. Oftentimes, we cater in our nation, I don't know if you know this, to consumers. We cater to consumers. In fact, I heard one speaker talk about this, and I wrote down some of his notes. He says that in order to kind of gain a customer, a company will promote their quality, value, style, service, convenience, savings, performance, experience, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money back guarantee, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trials, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding, no fuss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden fees, no purchase necessary. No one will call on you, no payments until September. And don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classy, deluxe, elegant, custom designer, luxury, prestige, high quality, premium, one of a kind pencil holder, yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. Why? Because you are that important to us, right? That's the American mindset, isn't it? Is it not? The customer is always right. Burger King got their slogan right when they said, have it your way. We have turned into a consumer-minded nation. I believe we've also turned many of us into consumer-minded Christians. And there are many consumer-minded churches out there as well. And there was never more apparent or evident than when I saw this parody video by the comedian John Crist earlier in the week. So I'll let you take a look at it. There's sound. They're talking right now. Do we have the sound? There we go.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist.
Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Hey, good.
Doing
how
good,
are you?
Doing good.
So I know you didn't love the traditional vibe of the last place, okay? Okay. But I think this church is really going to do it for you.
Yeah.
It takes relevance to a whole new level. Behind me, you will see molded clay, jar art, tapestry, canvas, mosaic church.
Mm, I love it.
Right? So you've heard of interdenominational.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you've heard of non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this church identifies as inter-non-denominational.
Wow, that's perfect for us. It really is.
But here's the kicker. A lot of celebrities go here.
Yeah.
What?
Jeff Foxworthy.
We love him.
Yep.
We really do.
Ben Higgins from ABC's The Bachelor.
Perfect.
Several Real Housewives.
Ooh.
And Usher even came here one time.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, well, follow me. Come on.
Let's do it.
So refreshing. Honestly, that last trip was just way too traditional. It was
too
much.
It was like we left there feeling convicted. Like, ugh. Right?
Right. We're looking for more of a Tony Robbins type sermon.
Like inspiration, like a TED Talk with a Bible verse.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
It's perfect here.
We love it.
It really is.
We love it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you guys know a lot of contemporary pastors speak out of the Message Translation Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or this pastor speaks out of a brand new translation. It's the Tumblr Bible.
Shut up. We love Tumblr,
up.
Though.
This is great. Wow. A lot of emojis, a lot of abbreviations.
Oh, I couldn't ask for one. And how many seats in here?
Oh, it is 6,000 altogether.
Babe, 6,000.
Wow.
I got to be in this worship band.
That's
Imagine me up on that Jumbotron mid-guitar solo.
You know how many Instagram likes you get? Oh, my gosh. We find it hard to find a church right now because I grew up Catholic.
I grew up Baptist, so...
So, like, we drink.
Yeah, but in private. I mean, obviously, you get it.
Basically, in terms of, like, worship, I think we're looking for, like, a Jesus culture type feel.
Oh, I right. love them.
Hillsong, obviously.
Oh, Lead to the Cross?
Hillsong is great. Like a Bethel, minus the spontaneous
stuff.
Yeah.
Just for me, I connect in worship more when the leader is attractive. Personally, I'm a Carrie Job guy.
Oh, okay. Well, she's married.
So is Christian Stanfield.
Wow.
So one of my personal favorite things about this church is the service times. Okay. There's an 8:30, a 10, a 1 o'clock, a 5:30, and even a 7 o'clock service.
Oh, there's something around like 2-ish?
Yeah, for us, for what we need, 2:15 is best.
Yes.
How many songs do they do during worship?
Usually five and a half, depending on where the spirit leads.
Wow, babe, is that a lot?
Well, if that's too much for you, they have a program here called the Worship Assist Program.
Okay.
So if you ever get tired during worship, an intern will come out and just hold your arms up. You just keep worshiping the King of Glory.
Just like that. Wow. I love it. And you can still look super spiritual.
And my arms get so tired from yoga.
Same.
I actually like this church. I think we can make it work.
It was all right. I mean, it was good. But I emailed the pastor, and he didn't immediately respond. So we're taking these vessels elsewhere.
So, as you can see, there's a lot of different things that people are looking for when they look for a church. But I want to go into the Word of God right now. I believe that the Word of God is active and alive, and I believe a few people here are excited about that today. Amen. How many of you like to cook? How many of you like to eat? Yeah. I love to eat. I like to cook. I don't get a chance to cook very often. I think I'm pretty good at it, and so usually when I cook, I make a big production of it at home, believe it or not. But it's what I've noticed in the little experience I have in cooking is it's more fun to cook for people who like to eat. And I've found that to be true as a preacher as well. Let me hear you if you are hungry this morning for a little bit of God's Word. Come on now. God's Word is active and alive. Amen. In John 4, Jesus and his disciples, they've been traveling all day, and they stopped at a well just outside of the city. And his disciples went into the city to look for food while Jesus sat at the well. And there was a woman that came up to Jesus in that time. She was a woman from Samaria. And what you need to know about the Jews and Samaritans is that they did not get along together. Jewish people actually viewed Samaritans as half-breeds because they would be married. The Jews called them half-breeds because Samaritans married Jewish people who were foreigners. And so Jesus has a conversation with a woman at the well, which is cutting through all of the religious red tape of that day. And he ends up leading her to faith in him as the Messiah. And so the disciples go and get food. And then at the end of this conversation that Jesus has with her, the disciples return. And she goes into the city to spread the word about who God is. And then this conversation takes place with the disciples and Jesus. It says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples, they were confused. Like, wait, is this guy holding out Chick-fil-A on us earlier? Or that's crazy because it's Sunday and they were closed. But anyway... Then his disciples said to each other, they didn't understand, could someone have brought him food? And Jesus said, this is the key verse this morning, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Essentially, Jesus says, when other people are consuming and their mentality is fill me, fill me, fill me, what actually nourishes me is when I pour into the lives of others. When I do the work of God, when I minister to others, when I help point people to Jesus Christ, the disciples were more worried about consuming. Jesus was more worried about contributing. He looked out and saw that the people from the village needed someone like him and needed healing, and he was more re-energized, he was more revitalized, more refreshed when he was serving others and bringing them to faith in him. And that way of thinking goes completely against how our culture sees it. Completely against it. Sin has turned our perfect attention of serving God and serving others to serving ourselves. At the core of every one of us is this thing called sin, which makes us self-centered and self-aware. And by default, we automatically think of ourselves first. By nature, we are consumers. Have it your way comes very natural to us. Contributing does not. And I think in that video, and I've seen it all the time as I talk with people in the community, people will constantly say things like, well, what programs do you have to offer me and my family at your church? What can your church do for me? We're just church shopping right now because we can't find a church that meets my family's needs, right? We need a church that feeds me. I just didn't feel fed where I was going. And there's a time to eat. Some of you came to church today to eat, and that's wonderful. I'll feed you, all right? I'll try to make sure that this meal is savory, that it's got some flavor. It's got no kale in it today, trust me, right? And I want to make sure you don't leave hungry. But I want to ask you, especially those who've been coming for a while, how long are you going to eat? How long are you going to consume, consume, consume? I mean, aren't you ready to step up and see what God can do through you? Aren't you ready to step up and see how God will move through you? Aren't you ready to just for something different, for a next step in your life? Aren't you ready to test out that faith-filled, big-thinking faith of yours? You see, every Sunday, people come to the cross. When you come here, I want you to know that people, there are many people that give their time, their energy, their gifts, and their resources for you. I want you to know that there are many people that have even given their dollars to ensure that the cross can be a place where people can meet Jesus. Each and every Sunday, you may not know this, especially now that we've added a third service, we are looking at over 150 volunteers to make Sunday happen. There are people that think, well, it's just the pastor and the band, and they get up there and do what we do. No, there are people that are all over this place that are serving. There are people that are serving your children right now in Camp Cross and in the nursery. Do you know that? Some of those people will be the most influential people in their lives. If you've been in the church like I have all my life, I still remember people that poured into my life at a young age, that were an influence in my life at a young age, and possibly I wouldn't be up here today if I had not had people like that in there right now that were speaking into my life. Do you know that? There were people at the door to greet you today as you came in. There are people that are in the AV booth right now that are making sure you can hear what I say and that it's clear. And they're also not making sure, they're making sure that you can hear it, but they're also making sure that those who are on their computers and screens and tablets and wherever they might be, their smartphones, that you can hear me as well. I don't know if you know this, but nearly everyone on stage that sings in the worship team, especially now that we've added a third service, do you know that to be on the worship team in a week to serve, it takes about 12 to 15 hours a week volunteering for what they do? Do you know that? That's awesome. That's called contributing. You should thank a volunteer if you see one today for the work that they put in to make it possible for you to meet Jesus here, to make it possible for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. I think a lot of people just come and they consume and they don't realize how important the need is. And what's funny about that statement is many of you are thinking, when I just said that statement about the need, is many of you are thinking, well, here we go again. The church is going to talk about how they need us to serve their people, serve their mission, to serve their ministry, their purpose. They need people to step up in nursery or in kids or in worship. And yeah, we need people usually all the time across the board. There are times when we need people. But no, what I'm saying is even more than we need you, you don't know how important the need is in your life to contribute. You need a purpose that is bigger than yourself. You need to be challenged. You need to stretch out of your comfort zone and see what God can do through you. You need to find community, and you will find that with other faith-filled, big-thinking volunteers. You can consume, consume, consume. And there's a time to consume. And listen, if you are here for the first time or you've been coming for a little bit and you don't know if this is your church yet, like, I get it. But I also want to change your mentality from church shopping, consumer mindset, to let you know that you should never go into a church and say, what can this church do for me? You ought to enter through the church doors and say, what can I do for this church to advance God's mission, to advance God's purpose in this world? But if this is your church and you've been coming and coming and coming, eating and eating and eating, consuming and consuming and consuming, I'm here to tell you there's something bigger and there's something better that you were designed for, and you need it.
That's right.
Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yes.
My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It's crazy. Some of us, it feels like we have consumed for so long, and the consuming of God is great, but we've been consuming for so long and so long and so long, and we thought we would be satisfied, and yet there are still many of us that are feeling unsatisfied, like we're not ever full for some reason. And why is that? It's because we have been made in the image of God, and we are like Jesus. And Jesus says that you have a hunger that sometimes can only be filled not by consuming, but by contributing. Do you know that contributing fills you up more than consuming? That's why some of you have been consuming for years and years and years, but you've never stepped out of the boat at all. That's why you're still feeling hungry a little bit. It's because you're not doing it the right way. And so what I want to do this week, which is what we did last week, where we kind of take a pulse on the room, we can say that we are spiritual contributors and not spiritual consumers, but how true is that for you in your life? Right? If you had to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, that I am a spiritual consumer and the worst of them, and 10 being I'm a spiritual contributor and the best of them, where would you rank yourself? And don't put yourself 10, because unless you gave yourself for the sins of the world on the cross and rose again, you're not a 10. And if you think you're Jesus, you can tap a few people around you and say, am I Jesus? And they'll tell you real quickly, no, you're not. And you should probably take yourself down a couple notches just for asking that question. Right? I want you to think, though, before you rate yourself, and let me help you figure it out a little bit. If you are sitting in a seat in a physical campus today, and you walked in, and you dropped your children off to someone else who is serving you, and you're not serving anywhere at all in the church, but you're benefiting from that, and if you come on Sunday mornings, and maybe you get a free cup of coffee and a free snack back there, and you don't put anything in the little donation bin that's back there, at some point you consumed something free, and you sat down in a seat that you did not purchase because someone else purchased it for you, and you're sitting in a building that you didn't pay for, and you've never given any type of offering whatsoever, and you just come and enjoy everything, but you've never given anything back, go ahead and circle yourself as a 2. I would say a 1, but that's the devil, and we're going to have a little bit of grace for you this morning. I'm just going to call it what it is. You've only benefited. You've given nothing back. You are absolutely a spiritual consumer. Let's say maybe you've been to a couple of Ralph's Bible studies before church starts, and then you come into worship somewhat regularly, and you go on a mission trip every few years, or you've contributed financially, you know, a few times, really when the Spirit kind of leads you and prompts you, whatever. You might be a 4 or a 5. Some of you, though, quite honestly, you're going to be up there, 7, 8, or a 9. You're here every time the doors open. You are serving, some of you, in multiple different areas, in different places. You are praying daily for the leaders by name of the leaders of this church and for God to work in this church. You are bringing people all the time. You might be a home group leader and an L team captain at the same time. You're all in. You've got the bumper sticker on the car. You're wearing our new cross shades that we've got in the connections corner. You're wearing the cross t-shirt. You are totally in, and you totally believe in the church, and you represent the church well in the community, representing what we do. If that's you, go ahead and put yourself at an 8 or a 9. You are a spiritual contributor, and thank God for you. If you find yourself, as we go through this, at maybe a 6 or below, this message is really designed to reach you. Because I believe that God wants you to live for a purpose that is bigger than yourself. I believe he wants you to live for something that is greater than yourself. And to help you move from consumer to contributor, I want to speak against what I think is the number one issue that keeps us from serving, that keeps us from contributing. A lot of you say that issue is, I just don't have enough time. I don't buy that at all. Listen, if you've got enough time to binge watch an entire season of a show on Netflix in a week, and you've got time to do all the things and keep up with your 17 social media accounts during the week, listen, you've got the time. I don't buy that you don't have the time. I believe the main issue that keeps us from serving, that keeps us from really going all in, that keeps us from contributing, is this word fear. I believe there's many people that are afraid. Let's call it what it is. They are afraid to give up of themselves and trust in other people, in a family, and to trust in a God. And when we are afraid, let me tell you what fear does. Fear causes us to miss out on some great opportunities in this life. You might be able to think back to a time or two in your life where you had an opportunity, but because you were afraid, you never went for it, and you still regret and think about and question the day that you did that. Many years ago, I read a book by a guy named Gary Haugen. He's the founder and leader of International Justice Mission, IJM, a great organization that seeks to end injustice across the world, but especially when it comes to slavery and sex trafficking. And he wrote a book called Just Courage. And I remember a story in it when Gary was only 10 years old, and he went to climb a mountain with his dad and his brothers, and they went to climb Mount Rainier, which is one of the largest mountains in the world, and it's the training grounds for kind of American teams that will go and climb Mount Everest. And so he was the littlest one in his family. And on this particular day, they went up this alpine meadow called Paradise, where at the top of it, or close to the top of it, they have a visitor center that has all kinds of exhibits and videos and historical facts about Mount Rainier, the wildlife, the trees, the flowers, those who've climbed before it, and so on. And on this particular day, they stopped there, but Gary's family, remember he's the youngest in the family, wanted to go higher. They wanted to reach a place called Camp Muir, M-U-I-R, which was way high up, and his brothers wanted to go. And despite his dad urging him to come, Gary didn't want to. Instead, Gary looked at the signs in front of him, filled with all sorts of warnings of every conceivable horror known to man for those who awaited to climb on. And he was scared, he was afraid, and he didn't feel like doing it. And so rather than climbing the mountain, he assured them, no, what I want to do is I want to hang out at the visitor's center, and you guys go up on the mountain. That'll be good for you. I'll be just fine here at the visitor's center. And so he stayed at the visitor center, checked out all the fascinating things, devoured all the information, explored every corner of it, and was loving it. But as the day went on, this huge visitor center started to feel rather small. And the informational video by the sixth or seventh time was not quite as exciting or interesting. And he says he got rather bored and felt sleepy and small and stuck. And after what felt like the longest afternoon of his life, his dad and his brothers finally came back. They were wet from snow, famished, dehydrated, and nursing scrapes from the rock and the ice. But on the long drive home, they had something else. They had stories about an unforgettable day with their dad on a great mountain. And Gary says, truth be told, I went on the trip and I missed the adventure. Gary chose what was easy over what was hard. He let fear drive his decision. And his dad and his brothers chose what was hard and pressed on and had stories, memories, and scrapes that they'll always remember. And I don't want you guys to go on the trip and miss the adventure that God has for you. I want all of us to live for something that is greater than ourselves. I don't want fear to keep us from a great opportunity that God might have for you. Amen. I believe that God many times wants to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Yes. I believe that when the women, like we talked about 2 weeks ago on Easter, went to the tomb, they went there, remember, with the oil and spices to embalm the body of Jesus. They went there to perform a ritual, but God wanted them to experience a miracle. And I believe that many of you are here today to perform a ritual, to check the right boxes, but God wants something more from you. And if you're honest and you think about it for yourself for a moment, you want that too. You've been consuming for so long and yet you're still hungry. Why is that? It's because you were made for something more. And God wants you to break out of that fear that is stopping you from going all in, and he wants you to go all in for him. It's crazy when you think about the commands and the do's and don'ts of the Bible. Like a lot of us will jump to the Ten Commandments. You know, do not steal, do not lie, do not murder. and so on. And then we'll think of some of Jesus's words. Love your enemies, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We think of all these things, but, and these are all biblical and accurate, and we should still do these today, but they are not nearly repeated as often as the most often repeated command in the Bible. And do you know what that is? Do not be afraid. Some scholars say it occurs in some version or form over 365 times in the Bible, which shows us that God wants to give us courage for each and every day of the year that we are fearful, that we are afraid. This past week, I was with a lot of the staff, and we went to a conference here in Orlando at First Baptist called Exponential, and I love conferences, especially when they're good. I should say I love good conferences, right? We've all been to bad conferences, like, geez, that was terrible. But I love good conferences. You want to know why? Because I can go there, and I can just eat. physically eat too, but I can just consume, because there's literally no place for me to serve. They've got servants for the week. They don't ask me to serve. And so it's really great. But when I'm there, I'm thinking, and as I'm listening to some of the best preachers in the world, it's like, man, I'm just eating this. I'm just consuming it, taking it all in. But there's a moment where something clicks, and it's like, while I'm eating, I'm thinking of, wow, this is really great stuff. This is really good, but I got to give this to someone else. I got to share this with someone else. And the great news about Jesus is that his gospel is good enough. There's enough to go around. And so when I'm at the conference, yeah, I'm consuming, but I'm also thinking about what ways can I give this out, right? I want to cook this stuff up that they're telling me. I want to present it in a new way and give this to the people around. That's what I want to do. You see, people a lot of times think that what we do here at church is just show up on a Sunday and let God move. And certainly God moves. And there's times when I've got a plan, and there's times when I've got a manuscript, and there's times when I've got, this is what I want to say, and God will come in and say, no, this is what you ought to say, and he'll do it on the spot. Or this is what you ought to do, and I wasn't planning on doing it. But most of the time, I want you to know there's a process to what happens here. I want you to know that I am consuming and consuming and consuming, and I am digging it out, all the stuff out there from the interwebs, right? And sermons and the Bible and worship and everywhere I can find something so that I can present it to you. You guys get the last 7 pages of the manuscript. You don't see the first 10 that didn't make the cut. And I will tell you something. I love to consume. I love to eat. But what's more fun is when I can cook it up. Cook it up and give you something to eat that I know you need. And I believe that, yeah, maybe preaching is not your thing, but I believe God is letting you consume and consume and consume, not so that you can keep it all to yourself, so that you can share it with someone else. Because his good news, he's got enough of it to go around, right? He's got enough of it to go around, no matter where you are and no matter what you have. God says, I've given you gifts and I've given you everything that you need to go out there. If you hang on to fear, we will miss what God can do in and through us. And even though we will consume and eat and eat and eat, there's still a hunger that consuming can't fill. Contributing has to fill. And so I just want to ask you today, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What's stopping you from truly serving and truly contributing? Because every fear that I think we have, God answers. Amen. Right? Yes. What fears do you have? Some of you have fear of, I don't know if I'll make it. God says in his word that you can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't need to be afraid if you won't make it. Some of you have fear that, I don't know what my family or my friends will think. I'm here to tell you that God is your heavenly Father, and we as your brothers and sisters are your family here too. And yeah, sometimes we will let you down because we're church and we're imperfect people, but our God will never let you down. And by the way, are you here to please God or please men? Last I checked, we are here to please God. And so even if your own family and friends don't accept you, you've got a Father in heaven who's chosen you before the foundations of the world, and you've got a family here that's excited to walk with you. You've got a fear of, well, I don't know if I'll succeed. God says, when did you ever think it was about you anyway? Right? When did you ever think that? Don't you know that the victory has already been won? I'll do the work through you. I mean, you're important, but you're not that important, right? I'll do the work through you. I'm not expecting you to save people. I'm expecting you to show up, though, and let that Spirit work through you in mighty ways. Some of you have a fear of your past. Geez, I don't know about with all the stuff that I've done, if God could use a person like me. Open your Bible for a minute and look at all the crazy messed up people that God used. God says, I have died for all of your sins. I have died for the sins of your past, by the way, the present and the future as well. I have given you grace for all of that. And so do not continue to dwell on the past. To continue to dwell on the past is to continue to reject the grace of Jesus that he's already won for you. Receive that grace and know that Jesus works through those that have a past. Know that Jesus will call from the fringes some of the people that will be his brightest light. Some of you say, I don't fear the past. I fear the unknown, the future. That's a big one. God, if I give my life, if I contribute, if I serve you, God, I don't know what this will look like. Listen, God is in control. The one who founded and made in the universe, who is also coming back to save us, he has got it under control. And any time you do not know where God is leading you, trust me, there will be times. God does not need you to know everything in the future. What he asks is for you to trust him. David said it so well in Psalm 23 that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no one. For you, God, your rod and your staff are with me. God is with you. You do not need to have a single fear of the future of the unknown because of that fact alone that God is with you. You say, well, Zach, if I turn my life over to Christ and I really contribute the way that God, I feel God is calling me to contribute, I don't know if I'll make enough money. Let me tell you, the Lord is the ultimate provider. And his word says, I have a plan for you. And that plan is to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. Some of you have a fear of failure. God, every other time I've tried to be free of this thing or to change my life or to break the chains of this addiction, I've always failed. I've always gone back. And so what is different about this one? And God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and strength. And in the past, you were working alone. Now you're working with me, God says. We've got what it takes. You've got what it takes. We will never fail. Some of you have the fear of, I don't know enough. God says, do you know me? That's enough. And remember last week, it doesn't matter what you know. It matters how much you care. People care. If you care about people, that's more important than knowing all the right answers. Some of you have a fear. I've put myself out on the line before, and I've been let down time and time and time again. I've been let down by so many others in this world. It feels like every time I've pushed my chips in some way, someone has let me down. And God says, I am not like those people. Every promise I've ever made, God says, I've kept it. I am faithful. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you have a fear of not being able. Not being able. If you believe in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you and lives inside of me. And he will not call you to serve in a way in which he's not given you everything that you need to serve. He's given every single person in this room gifts. That's what the Word of God says. And if you don't know what those gifts are, that's where we want to help you. That's why we want you in a launch class. We can help you discover what those gifts are and what you ways in which you might be able to serve. Every fear that you have, some of you might have other fears. I want you to know that God has an answer for it. And did you notice that every fear I talked about there, do you know who it was centered on? You, me. I fear that I won't make enough, that I won't succeed, that I will fail. God says, quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about others. Start thinking about others. He will not call you to serve in a place where he has not already filled you up. Some of you have been eating so much and you are still hungry. And I want you to know it's because you were made for something more. I believe there is this deep longing in each of us for something more and for significance. And this is what Jesus calls all of his disciples into, that sort of relationship. And so let me ask you, when people ask you, what do you do or what your purpose is in your life? Let me ask you, do you sit back in your chair or do you lean forward to talk about what God is doing? If you are sitting back, God wants to give you a lean forward purpose that gets you so excited where you are pouring into the lives of others and God is using you in mighty ways. I don't want fear to hold you back. I don't want you to go on the trip and miss the adventure. That's what God has for each and every one of us. If you are fearful, God is with you and God will always be with you. And so do not be afraid. We move from consumers to contributors. That's what we do in this place. Some of you say, well, Zach, you're just preaching so passionately because it's your church and you get a salary from the church and you need people to help. No, you need this. You need this. And the reason why I can be so excited about the church is not because of me or anything of this world. It's because I know, and trust me, when I look at how I can contribute in ways in which I can push all my chips in, what I look for is, God, where are you already? And what God has said, and this is the reason why we planted a church, is God has said, I am with the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We give and we serve to the local church because God has said, that's where I am. And so I look for places where God is and I look for places where God is already moving. And so yes, I know he's moving in the church at large, but yes, I also see that God is moving here at the cross, and we don't want you to just come on the trip with us and miss the adventure. We want you to have stories to tell and memories to think about and scrapes that you will recall something in your mind. We want you to come on the adventure with us. And not only do we need you, but you need it even more. Because we are called in this world not just to consume, but to contribute. And we can do that because the grace of God flows through us and has changed each and every one of us. And after all that I've received from God, after all the consuming and all the things that I find when I consume, I see a God who gave his life for me and who died for all my sins. And that gives me no other choice but to push all my chips in and say, I'm ready to contribute. On your seats, we have cards. And if you are already serving, praise God, fill it out again for us, that would be great. But if you are coming to the church and you know this is your church, and you are a six or lower when we talked about that scale, I really want you to consider taking a step of faith today. Take a step of faith today. Listen, there's some things you got to pray about. I don't even think this is one you got to pray about. You've been consuming for too long, and it's time for you to step up. And so if you take this card right now, if each of you would take this card, and you'd take a look at it, and you would say, where does God calling me to serve right now? Where can I contribute for the church? I want you to fill that out. And as we are singing this next song, I want you to come forward, and I want you to lay it on the altar, and we will definitely be in touch with you and get you involved in different ways. And I believe that God is going to use you in mighty, powerful ways. God is going to use you to do incredible things, to help save kids' lives, to help praise him through the band, to help in every way, to help greet people that are coming through our doors. Don't you know how important our greeters and ushers are? Usually in the first 10 minutes, someone will decide if this is a church for me or not. You are important. Before they hear a verse of the song or a sentence from my lips, people will make a determination because we live in a consumeristic mindset, don't we? But God has called us to contribute, to contribute, to contribute. So let me pray for us. God, I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for all the people that are going to step up today and say, you know what? I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm not going to let fear hold me back. I am not scared. I've got nothing to be terrified about because God, you are with me. And if you are for me, no one can be against me. You've delivered me and I've got no other option, God, but to serve you and to give you my whole heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that this morning that people would move from consuming to contributing, and that through our contribution, Lord, your name would be glorified. Not us at all, Lord Jesus. Not my name and not the name of this church, but Jesus Christ, your name. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And we are your salt and we are your light. And we do it all for you. We love you, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. And together we say, amen. Hey, will you stand up on your feet and will you worship? And if you're here to serve and you know what you want to do, will you bring it and place it at the altar as we worship our God this morning?